All right. Okay, so we're decided to start this podcast to talk about good movies, talk about bad movies. I'm Ashlyn.
I'm Jana.
We both went to LSU and did creative writing, and we have learned to pick apart plots, make fun of movies and books. So
our education has ruined our minds for stories. So
so we thought we would ruin all of yours.
Right, right. But we're basically going to be talking about plot structure, characters, and some basic storytelling techniques that we see in these movies.
And basically, they just trash the movie, so get ready.
Yeah, most of them, yeah. So today we're going to be talking about Old by M. Night Shyamalan, or however you say his last name.
And if you haven't seen this movie, please, and let us see all of the comments, because we have many.
I thought you were going to say, please, don't.
Oh, no, no. If we have to endure the torture, so do you.
So let's go ahead and give a summary, and then we can start getting into some spoiler territory. That says a lot about a movie if you can summarize it concisely. So yeah, there's a lot going on in this movie.
We'll try.
Okay.
LSU education, go. So basically, it is about a resort that multiple families go to, and it's about a beach near the resort where, unfortunately, some people go, and for some reason, the more time they spend on the beach, the older they get. Which doesn't seem too bad, except they're aging so fast that they're basically turning into dust in a way. So
yeah, I think someone literally did turn into dust, like the first body they found, I think.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so they go through all of the life cycle.
Right. So now the whole predicament is, why is this happening? Can they get out? Why are they aging?
Why did you make this film?
Why did you make the film? Why are there so many plot holes? So, anything you want to add to the analysis?
I mean, it's a great premise. I'll probably talk about that later. But, yeah, we watched Old, so you don't have to. That's the summary. If you want to go and watch it, put us on pause right now, because we're gonna jump into some spoilers. Okay, so the characters are unremarkable in almost every way. Mm-hmm. There is no arc. They travel a steady line.
Yeah.
Throughout the movie. And they make you, they'll kind of fake you out and be like, there's a plot. There's an arc. And you're like, but are these people really different besides being old than how they were at the beginning of the movie?
There is no character arc.
No.
There are some people that die, and I guess that's the completion
of
their character arc.
There are a lot of people that die. Just some fun background information. M. Night Shyamalan based this movie off of a graphic novel that was published originally in France, I think. It was called Sandcastle, and it was a fable. So it was left open-ended. The characters never figure out why they're getting older. They just are. And they're having to deal with the inevitability of living their lives quickly. And I honestly haven't read the graphic novel because my library doesn't have it. But I really want to. And I felt like it would have been scarier if it was open-ended, and that the characters just, like, they had to come to terms with that. And I felt like they touched on that, like,
at the end, yeah. After they, like, wasted most of their time.
Right. Well, no, like when the main parents, so they end up dying, shocking, and there's, like, this sweet moment between them where they're, like, kind of accept that they're about to die. But because they haven't had character arcs from the beginning of the movie, you're just, like, okay, this is happening, I guess.
Yeah, because we find out, so going back to the main family, we all know there's some kind of tension, and we find out it's because, okay, so, like, there's two things. First, she was like, I have this, like, growth, which were, like, cancer, and she's like, nah, it's not gonna kill me, but it's really scared me, and we're like, okay, like, we get that.
Which was, to me, I was like, okay, so you raise the stakes and then immediately lower them, which is like, oh, it's not gonna kill me. Because I was like, okay, yes, cancer is scary, but within the confines of a story, you need that driving tension. Like,
and honestly, it made sense at the time, because it's like, oh, they have to tell the kids. They have to tell the kids that she's dying, and this is like her last trip, and this is why everyone's like tense and sad. Yeah. And
And she and the husband were about to split up.
Exactly. And I was like, well, maybe. And then, or you can just come at it from this other angle where it's like, maybe she had cancer. Maybe she fought it and won. And now they're realizing that that was the only thing keeping their relationship together.
Right.
There's ways. But no. They brought it up and then they dropped it and let it fall on the ground and explode.
Right.
That's not what they wanted to do. Turns out what really is the tension is the fact that she had an affair.
Which comes in way too late in the movie, and in the worst way possible, because it comes out with her telling her 12-year-old, who now looks like she's 20, that she had an affair. And I'm thinking, okay, at this point in the movie, we have acknowledged that they're all dying rapidly. They have exhausted all their means of escape. And so for some reason, instead of wanting to live out the rest of the time she has with her family, she turns to her 12-year-old daughter and tells her that she was sleeping with some other dude.
Yeah, which it was like, listen, if y'all are dying, you can't get off this beach, which we'll explain why later, because that's we're going to have a whole other section about why that was on this show. You can't get off the beach, so why would you turn to your 12-year-old daughter and be like, I had an affair? It's like, she could have lived her whole life, the rest of her life that she had left, thinking that you had a strong relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And you just took that away from her.
Right.
That's just really messed up to me. Maybe other people would appreciate honesty, but at that point, I'm like, listen, I'm gonna die in a couple hours. Like, let's not do that, please.
And I really think they did that because they were harping on her being the strong character. And I don't have anything against strong characters. Like, I liked that she was kind of the driving force of their escape efforts. And, you know, she even had a line where she told her husband, if I cry, don't let anyone see. So you're like, okay, she's strong. She's fighting through this illness she has. You know, that's good. But she's so strong to the point that they forgot to give her moments where she's weak. Like, she is just consistently strong, because after that line where she says, don't let them see me cry, I was like, okay, at some point in this movie she's gonna have a breakdown and just, you know, be vulnerable with everyone around her for once. No. Never happens.
No.
She just, you know, continues being strong throughout the movie.
Yeah. And the husband, I don't really...
He's there.
Like, I don't even remember anything. Like, he didn't do anything wrong. He's just, like, suffering, I guess. Yeah.
I would say he fell under... He was the good character. Like, he was the righteous character, I guess.
Those characters are so boring.
I know. He really... To a fault. Like, he always did the good thing, which was good in certain situations. Like, he would pick up on... the doctor character was, like, a psycho, basically. At least the way they portrayed him. So he kind of picked up on that before anyone else did. He also kind of picked up on the people who were sus and the people who weren't. But he was consistently good throughout the movie. So there really wasn't anything to hold on to there.
No. So I have nothing else to add to his character.
It's like, he was bland.
He was bland. I didn't like him.
He died the way he lived. Bland.
Blandly.
I mean, yeah, that whole scene was so...
Weird.
Half that movie, I was like, I want to empathize. I want to be attached to these characters, but I'm just not.
It's just not. And then, like, getting to the... So then their kids, the girl, the older girl, 12-year-old, was definitely struggling with the fact that she wants to be a woman.
Yeah.
They hint at it multiple times. Like, she watches... Before they even go to the beach, she sees these older girls in bikinis and stuff like that. And you can tell that she's like, why don't I look like that?
Right.
Or, like, I'm not as pretty. Mm-hmm. You can kind of tell.
Which was a great relatable aspect to put into her character.
Exactly. Because
I was like, yeah, we've all been 12. And we've always, you know, see the grown-ups and you want to do what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And plus, being 12 is just a very awkward phase. I'm sorry for all the middle schoolers. It gets better. But I get her, kind of her personality. The son, he's really too young to have a personality. I know that's
it's
bad.
It's like... He had one, but it wasn't fleshed out, or it was goofy or something.
It was...
There was something off about it, but
I really think his whole thing was that he was very friendly.
Yeah.
And that he was the one that was asking all of the other characters, like, what they did. He made friends with the guy, with the kid, yeah, and the whatever.
He's also really smart, because they talk
naive
about him.
Yeah, he was very naive.
He's six.
apparently 6 year old. Apparently 6 year olds know a lot more than we thought they did.
Everything about 6 year olds.
you know, I haven't played her.
Right, right.
But, so then, like,
he's very scientific. I remember him having lines where you're like, he's very mathematical.
He's very smart.
It took me a minute to remember that because I got so thrown off by the end. Because there's, you know, at the end, he's the one who ultimately finds their escape. Yes, they do escape.
The kids,
is it a good way?
Not everyone.
No. It's a really dumb escape. But
like, no one would know.
He's like really smart. We're banking on that. And then all of a sudden he goes, oh my gosh, I just remembered, I have a note from the hotel manager's son and I forgot to decode it. We made up this special little cipher. And I was like, I'm sorry, you forgot to decode your little best friend's message?
Listen,
you guys have been decoding these messages like twice.
That was such a convenient cop out.
Oh yeah.
They're like, they're both about to die. They're the last two, the daughter and the son.
Right.
They're the last two, they're about to die. And then he just pulls this note out of his shorts and he's like, oh my god,
yeah,
I actually have the answer to all of our problems.
Wow.
It's like, oh, how convenient. Yeah.
And on the one side I get, it's like, okay, he's six, he forgets things, but he's also the smartest character there. And they state that multiple times.
Listen, you've had those shorts on all day, like, you never put your hands in your pockets at any point. And
right,
it's like,
I think he got it out of his mom's purse, maybe. I don't know. The note just appeared.
I don't like it.
At that point, my hands were buried so far into my hands. Like, my head was just in my hands going, oh, no, please, no. Just end it, please.
I know. So, that was that family. The, I want to talk about the nurse and the girl that, I forgot her name.
The nurse. Jared. Or Jerry. His name started with a J. He said it multiple times.
He said it multiple times and we remember. I not remember.
Yeah.
It was him and the girlfriend. The girlfriend was the one that was having seizures.
She was also a therapist. I clung to that.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. She did workout stuff.
They tried to portray her as ditzy, but at the same time I was like, but you have set the perfect character to have these conversations with. Like the mom telling her 12-year-old she freaking cheated on the husband. I was like, you literally have a therapist on the island.
Yeah, it's like, let's talk about it.
Right. But they portray her as this ditzy, like, everyone just calm down. We should just talk it through. And I was like, please no.
Yeah, she's like, we got to take a minute and step back. And the only thing is that I'm like, y'all have a very limited time. Like, you don't have hours to sit and talk about it. I'm sorry. I want y'all to talk about it too, but y'all just can't. But her boyfriend, the nurse, his dialogue was so bad. Like, literally, in the beginning of the movie, she's on the ground, she's having a seizure, and he's just sitting over her, like, no expression or anything. And the doctor comes up, he's like, do y'all need help? He's like, I'm a nurse, my name's Jared. And he's like, okay. He's like, he's like, this happens a lot, so it's okay. My name is Jared. I was like, what is the purpose of you? So, yeah, so he was definitely...
He was just trying escape method number two for them. That was his whole purpose in the movie.
He
was to die.
And to let us know that his name was Jared.
And to know his name was... I think also I read that he kept saying his name because later, the doctor character, part of the rich family, we learn that he has, like, I think it's beginning signs of dementia, but then in the middle of the movie, his symptoms were more like schizophrenia. You know? Anyway, someone told me, or I read a commentary where Jared said his name so many times so that we would catch on to the fact that the doctor wasn't remembering his name.
But the doctor never asked for his name again.
I think he's called him by name. I don't know. I'd have to watch the movie again.
We would have to watch it again.
I don't have enough IQ points.
I really feel like I really feel like there was a lot of times where, like, it was just quiet and he was like, my name is Jared. He was killing me. But anyway, if that was the purpose and maybe he did say his name wrong, I did not take it that he didn't forget his name. I just took it that he didn't care to remember.
I think it's sad because Jared or Jerry, whatever his name was, became my favorite character because he was the only one, like, just not contributing to everyone else's BS. He was just kind of like, I'm here. I'm participating. And I'm like, that is relatable. Good for you.
Yeah.
Jerry, Jared.
Yeah.
Gary, Jerry, Larry.
Jerry Larry. He is Jerry Parks and Rec.
Yes.
That just tells you all of his personality.
Oh, yeah.
But, so the next guy, the rapper, or some, he was some kind of famous pop star.
He's a famous rapper, and his freaking rap name. Okay, so, like, think of all the rappers right now, or anyone in the industry, and, like, they're, like, Beyonce and Lady Gaga, who aren't rappers, but those are the only names that are coming to mind right now. Lil Nas X, freaking some of these guys that just stick Lil on the front of their names. Mm-hmm. This man's name was Midsize Sedan. That was the name that they went with, and the only name I can remember for their entire rest of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Not that they said his name very often, because he died off so quickly. But oh my gosh, for no reason.
Like, and he was the only, he was probably the best character
there. He was the first one on the beach, so he didn't know anything was up, but he was the first one to say that someone had gone missing.
Yeah, because which was the striptease that we met earlier.
Yeah. The girl who was there to show off her butt and then die.
I feel so bad for that actress.
So many other horror movies.
Whenever they wanted her, they're like, listen,
we just need you for your butt. And that's
which is sadly a lot of the reasons Hollywood. Anyway.
I know. That's a whole other commentary.
You don't want to get into that. It's not that kind
feminism
of
feminism in old.
Oh my god. But yeah. So his personality, he seems very closed off. Of course, everyone gets a little suspicious of him because he was there first.
However, the doctor takes it to a different level because he immediately goes, he starts calling him those people. And like he just refers to him in a way that's very like racial.
Yeah.
And Midsize Sedan is black, but I mean, he hasn't done anything the whole movie. But I felt like the movie was trying to be like, do like a racism sort of message.
I think they were trying to show like the doctor being racist.
Yeah.
Which...
Label him as like the bad character because he was a bad character
and he was being racist, and it's kind of like right. Yeah, okay, good, like you're showing this
right
that but this then, is bad.
And I say they did it to show a message of racism because later they, you know, prove that Midsize Sedan is not the killer and that the doctor is being racist, and they call him out on it, and I was like, okay, cool, that was a nice little subplot. Where's the rest of this movie going? Well, the rest of this movie is going nowhere because the doctor kills Midsize Sedan anyway. I can't remember if it was because of the racism or what.
I think it's because I remember this. The doctor, like we said, is schizophrenic or something like that. And I think he had an episode to where he like forgot, like he couldn't control himself. But because he was racist, his first thing was like, I don't trust this guy. Like, you can tell he doesn't trust the guy the whole time. So whenever he has this episode, the first thing he does, apparently, is go and stab this guy.
Because he was the only character with a knife for some reason.
Yeah.
Conveniently.
Yeah, where did he get this knife?
I think someone had a pocket knife. I don't know.
Who brings a knife to the beach? Anyway.
I mean, we live in Louisiana. There are a lot of guys who bring knives to beaches.
Yeah, but that's not the kind of beaches I hang out at. And it's not a resort beach. But, I don't know. So anyway, so he goes and kills him, and everyone's like, what the hell? And he's like, you know, my bad, I blacked out, or something.
He's literally like, my bad, I'm a good person.
Yeah.
Even though I just stabbed this man that we proved innocent.
Yeah, and they take the knife away from him and they just let him chill. I was like, listen.
No, I don't think they did.
They didn't take the knife away from him?
Yeah. Because there was later he was like, I think he was cutting up like his dead mother's bones or something. His mom dies early in the movie.
He cuts his, I don't remember that.
I don't know. He's like talking to himself and he's got the knife and everything.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. They don't actually say what he's doing.
It's just a weird scene. It's just a throw in. I don't even know where to put it in this episode.
Listen, if someone breaks and just kills someone, I feel like my first reaction is take knife away. Second reaction is tie guy up.
Right.
But, and then the other, just to kind of run through the other two characters, which aren't that important. The grandmother is not very important. You don't really know.
The grandmother and the dog die so early in the movie.
Super early. And then the doctor's wife, she also just has this very beauty complex. Apparently a lot of girls in this film is very insecure.
Everyone in this film was insecure.
Yeah. And then, her daughter, which, again, her daughter was like two or three.
She's two or three. Yeah.
So also, just the fun-loving little kid. Also has no personality yet. No offense to kids.
All offense to kids.
All offense. She's just, they're just straight chilling.
We do learn about the mom at the resort. They try to set a lot of groundwork and foreshadowing.
She has a calcium deficiency,
yeah. And she also really likes the waiter to look at her chest. I focused on the calcium deficiency, but then I was like, it's so hard to focus on the plot points with you being so awkward and weird and your husband standing right there.
I feel like at any time that is the trophy wife trope. It's like, yeah. Oh, they're so pretty because they cheat. Like, it's so annoying. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's pretty much the characters. Now I think, what is our, like, getting to plot holes?
Oh man, there's so much. Yeah, there's so many holes. Like we've already covered some with the characters. The characters are just horrible.
Yes.
But what happens next? They get older.
Yes.
And you know what happens then?
A lot of weird stuff.
Bad things.
A lot of weird stuff. Things that should not be in this movie.
Yeah. So let's talk about the big elephant in the room, which is the weird sex scene. Pregnancy.
Oh my god.
So if you don't know, and if you've seen the trailer, you know one of the characters does get pregnant. Going into this film, in my head I thought it would be like a... Once they get on... Like, the beach worked in such a way that you just lived out the rest of your predestined life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so she just, you know, got pregnant because she was going to get pregnant at that age anyway. No.
No, apparently no. This was a very... So what they had decided to do is that the young boy that was 6, they grew up really fast, and they turned to, what, 16, 17 at that age?
I guess they're supposed to be, like, the legal age because of the connotations.
I guess so.
But it was just...
They looked like teenagers.
The reasoning they gave... I mean, just to set the scene, like Ashlyn was doing, the two kids are laying in the tent, like, eating snacks, and then the little girl just randomly goes, "It's weird. Our bodies are growing. But I think my mind is growing too." And then she like starts stroking him and it's weird and I don't like it. And at that point I looked at Ashlyn and I was like, is this even legal? I might leave.
Yeah, no, they definitely like, so the show did not do well in showing the mental state and how that was progressing.
No, because she says that, but then the other
But she talks and acts like a child.
They all still talk and act like children, even though they say, our brains are aging. But then they immediately cut to a scene where the 12-year-old girl, who's like 20 now, is speaking like a child. She's still having these childlike tendencies, so it just doesn't hold up, which makes it so much worse.
Exactly. So now, like, these two kids that are now, I don't know, let's just say 20 for her. Let's just say 21.
35.
Please. So yeah, so they end up having sex, and then she gets pregnant very quickly.
They don't show it on screen. And why we're saying, like, oh, they still have the mentality of children is because she gets pregnant, and then they leave the tent, and someone goes, oh my god, what did you do? And she's like, oh, we were just wrestling. Look, I got a little fat. And I was like, this is so wrong. Like, I hate it.
Yeah, they're like,
but
we're
the little
just
boy,
playing.
The little boy knows what he was doing, though.
Yeah, because he was like, what did you do? And he was like, I thought we had to do it like 6 times, like 10 times for this
right.
to happen. And I was like, number one, you are 6 years old. How do you know about this?
Mm.
Where are your parents? And like, also, it's just, that was very disturbing that he kind of knew what was going on.
Right.
And also
it
that...
kind of feels like taking advantage, even.
Oh, yeah, a little bit. But
it's so weird.
It was just weird. It was awkward. I just don't even know how to describe it, because it's like, I just don't think that... I know that... Okay, listen. Like, I know human urges, da-da-da, but like... When I, like, I don't think that would just be something you would automatically want
no.
to do. Like, that's,
no.
like, so compulsive.
I feel like that has to happen. It was definitely thrown in there to disturb us, like it's doing.
And then
but
it did.
But I think what's more disturbing is that the film tried to justify it and, like, be like, this is fine because they're aging. Like, no.
Yeah, like, they're at a good age to do that. And I was like, no, but mentally they're not.
No.
And that is
right.
the whole basis of, like,
because, yeah.
everything.
And something that bothered me, like, in hindsight was... M. Night has done this in his films before. Like, we both saw Split, which is a fantastic M. Night
film.
Oh,
that was a great movie.
But, and this is a spoiler for Split, so go ahead and skip this part if you haven't seen it, because it's fantastic. But we learn the main character has been molested by her uncle from a young age. And this is a heartbreaking portrayal, which is appropriate because it is a horrible act. Like, this is awful.
Mm-hmm.
They don't justify it. They're just like, this is part of her trauma. Even the villain of that film finds that out and is like, you know, that's horrible. Mm-hmm. But then you get to Old, where they're trying to justify it's not, you know, this whatever it was horrible.
No, it was a horrible thing. If you ever watch it, you will be, well, I know I said you should watch the show, but, like, at this part, feel free to fast forward. Like, we were in the movie theater. We could not.
I know, we were kind of looking at each other like, should we leave?
Yeah,
like,
it was, this feels it felt really wrong and very dirty.
It's like, obviously, the actors are of age, but it was,
mentally,
the portrayal was,
not?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. I did not like it.
I don't know. It just seemed very, very, very sus.
That was the worst part of the movie for me, was sitting there going, I can't make fun of this or laugh at it. It's just wrong. And they're trying to tell me that it's okay.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
So that was probably the biggest plot hole.
Also.
And let's talk about when the baby is born.
Oh, yeah.
The baby dies. Not like a little bit dies. But dies from lack of touch or lack of
affection or something. I don't know. I've never had a baby.
Because you know, whenever you have a baby, you have to coddle them. You mm-hmm. have to be around them because they will die if you leave them. Like, you could feed them and everything, but they'll die if you don't touch them.
Right.
And so that was.
Same.
So, like, in the movie, they try to say the baby died from lack of affection, but keep in mind she just gave birth. From the time the baby was picked up and brought to the mother, it died.
But they discovered it, I think it's like every 30 minutes is like a year.
Yeah, but...
I don't know. There's no continuity.
My plot hole point of mm-hmm. this, though, is the fact that she was touching the baby the whole time.
That's true.
So, no. I would get maybe like starved to death.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Mm-hmm. But not...
Yeah, because she literally pops out the baby, and then Jared's wife, because he's the only person I can remember, uh-huh. is holding the baby, and then tells them that the baby died. And also, to add on to your plot point, like, yeah, that wouldn't have been possible, like, with the continuity and everything, but I was thinking, with the pregnancy, I was thinking, okay, maybe the big twist is that there's just generations and generations are going to live on this island, like, forever. And then it would actually be, like, the graphic novel Sandcastle. No.
No, the baby died.
The whole time you're trying to find the reason for all of it, thinking the ending will, like, satisfy all these plot holes, and it falls so short.
Oh.
I'm sure we'll get to that in a little bit, but...
Yeah, because the only other major plot hole I can think of...
There are of many.
There's so many.
So many.
I'd say these are just the major ones. You will find your own plot holes. Please comment and, like, tell us the ones that you find. We'll just cover the major ones. I think the next one that we should probably talk about, though, is why this happens at this beach.
Oh my gosh! The ending!
No, like why everyone's growing old because of magnets.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot it was I was so frustrated at the their escape method, which was to swim. Even though Jared freaking died by swimming. My boy Jerry died.
And the girl that our striptease in the beginning, died too. Because she swam away.
See, I liked them because they didn't add to the BS of this movie. They just went, you know what? I don't care anymore. And they ended up dying for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole thing. Yeah. Just to walk you through the ending, the son finds the note, they decode the note, and it literally says, from the other child at the resort, my dad hates the coral. So then, obviously, at least to them, not to us, they look at the coral reef that's been there for the whole movie and maybe mentioned twice, and they go, we can swim through that. And that's how they get out. And also they learn that the magnets, because there's a journal on the beach, like a freaking Skyrim quest. They find a journal, yeah. Look at it, and go, oh man, the lore. And then they forget about the journal for...
All of it.
All until, like, the last 30 minutes of the movie. Like, they find it pretty early, right?
Again, that's another plot hole.
Oh, yeah.
Because here's the thing. If you leave a journal, and they literally only use it for one thing, which is to confirm that it's magnets.
Right.
Other than that, they don't use it.
But it's really, like, this writer's whole experience on the beach. So I'm like, okay, the journal is our freaking,
like,
whole
key.
Clue box.
Yeah,
yeah,
this is, like, the key to the everything. You should have been using it this whole time.
Right.
No, just for that. That's the thing. That was the problem with this movie, is that they put things in place for convenience, not for the plot or for the characters.
It's like they halfway foreshadowed. Like, once they got to the hotel, you have all these little plants. Not actual plants, but, like, you know, clues. I said that and went, huh. There are plants in the hotel, but they have all these foreshadowing things, but I felt like they didn't really follow through. They're like, oh, look, cool drinks. Okay, next thing.
Yeah, it's just that they didn't explore on it, and it was just... did not work out. But right. The whole thing with the beach, though...
And everyone's really, really dumb.
Really dumb.
Like, no one has seen Survivor. I feel like if someone who had seen Survivor had been on the island, they would have been like, okay, this is a whole quest.
Or been to an escape room.
Right, right.
Which I thought this was going to be kind of like right. an escape room thing. And it was yeah. like, nah, we're just going to watch all these people die.
It's like, oh, just going to watch all these pointless deaths for no reason.
Well, honestly, the movie would have been better if everyone died. I don't like that the kids escaped. I don't like that they unfoiled the whole plan of, which we'll get into.
Right.
If the kids would have died, we would have been like, oh my god, what are the next victims? And then maybe in the second movie, they could have redeemed everything.
Maybe. Sometimes. No, I agree, because with this type of story structure, I'm getting a little technical with the plot. With this type of structure, you want clues, and you want at least one smart character to pick up on it and then have that clue lead to somewhere else. Because where they went wrong, at least to me, I mean, you can tell me if you agree or disagree, was nothing led up to anything. Like, there wasn't a good payoff, because you have all these little bits, but they don't really connect. It doesn't feel like the characters are moving towards anything, mm-hmm. because they try the same escape routes like 5 times and people die and get disoriented. Like, we're back where we started. For me, it would have been helpful if they saw the journal. Okay, we found a clue in the journal, and then they moved off to somewhere else. They find another clue. Great. And like, and also have all the subplots and drama going within that. But they find all these bits and pieces, and it none of it seems to lead anywhere. As a viewer, you don't feel like you're progressing towards anything.
Well, and also, just to build off of that, because mm-hmm. whenever we write, and whatever we've been taught, the fact is that the characters themselves are the ones that are supposed to move the plot.
Right.
The plot can't move the characters, and that's what Old was doing. Mm-hmm. The characters were just in a spot, and the plot was just beating them up. And they just reacted the way they to react.
If they reacted at all.
Yeah, if they reacted at all, which most of the time they did.
There was a lot of shots of foreheads and, like, zoomed-in eyeballs.
Oh, Jesus. But, like, so when something happened, instead of them, they have to decide... It's like hard to explain. Mm-hmm. If they were the ones making the decisions and therefore something else happened, then that would have been better. But it was something happened, they reacted, something happened, they reacted. That's not how it's supposed to go.
No, not at all.
And that's why it was... I feel like that's also why we didn't connect to the characters and also why we didn't like the plot.
Right. Oh, I 100% agree. Because it was like, you just... Everything feels pointless. Especially at the end when you realize it is.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe we should go in and just spoil why all this is happening to these people.
Let me... Do you want to talk about our theories going into it? Because we had some really good theories.
Oh, we had great theories. Yeah, let's talk about that. My theories is always aliens.
Immediately we're like, aliens. Because
aliens.
And this... wholly based on the fact that the girl carrying the drinks at, like, the beginning of the movie when they get to the hotel looked so, like, beautiful.
She looked like an alien.
She looked like an alien.
Like, she really did. I'm like, not to diss the actress. She's very pretty.
Yeah, but she was way prettier than anyone else.
In an otherworldly way.
So she stood out, and so I was like, ooh.
I'm like, that's an alien.
So Ashlyn said aliens at the beginning, and I was like, yeah. And then they started talking in that weird code, so we're like, ooh, yeah, aliens.
They're definitely aliens.
And then later I said vampire, also because of the woman who looked
otherworldly.
Yeah. But also because, like, mid-sized sedan is chilling in the shadows for most of the movie. Probably because he didn't want to get sunburned, but in my head I was like, ooh, what if it's vampires and, like, they're leading these people down here and it's, like, some sort of vampire cult? Like, that would be cool. At least when I thought about it, it was.
Yeah, or what was your other theory? Fairies.
Fairies. I thought maybe... I was trying to make a connection in the middle of the movie with the life draining and like immortality. The vampire thing made me think about immortality, and I was like, maybe this is some sort of ritual. Mm-hmm. Like they have to drain these people, maybe using like fairy magic or dark magic to keep everyone else alive.
Yeah, and throughout the thing, there's someone watching them, because you can see these reflectors in the background, yeah. And you're like, oh, someone's feeding off of this.
Right.
No, that was just a camera.
Which, from like 100 million miles away, the sun looks up at the end of the movie and goes, that's a camera! And I was like, how in the world?
Listen, we were watching this movie for 2 hours. We did not know that was a camera.
I was like, because the sun moved, I see it's a camera. I was like, you have had so much time to look at that.
They're like, someone's watching us. And it was like, nah, they all brought you to the same beach and practically locked you out there.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure someone is watching you.
Which, fun fact, M. Night Shyamalan himself is like a character for at least 30 minutes of this movie.
Yeah.
He's the bus driver who drives him down there. He has dialogue in places he should not have dialogue. And he's also the person watching them.
If you ever direct a movie, please don't go into it.
Unless you're Lin-Manuel. I feel like Lin-Manuel Miranda can do it. He has permission.
No, he does musicals.
And Tommy Wiseau.
And that's different.
Tommy Wiseau also has a pass.
Yeah. Other than them, no one else. But yeah, so apparently we were all wrong. What it was a scientific experiment.
Wow. I love science.
So what they were doing with their little flowery drinks in the beginning of the movie.
Which were, again, shown for 0.5 seconds. And they're like, wow, cocktails.
Like, we didn't even mention in the beginning of this podcast because literally it was that.
I feel like you did say something about it at the beginning of the movie. You said, it's the drinks. And then we kind of talked about aliens and stuff, and you're like, we kind of dropped it.
Well, yeah, because the drinks never came up again. Like, we saw them at the beginning, they never came up again, so we're like, maybe we're
also
wrong.
The drinks have to do with healing viruses and illnesses. However, the viruses and illnesses, those were probably the best foreshadowed, but they weren't strong enough.
Right.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they're mentioned, but then it's like, okay, she has cancer, she has seizures, he's crazy,
schizophrenic.
I did not like how they portrayed him at all, but
No, that was a bad characterization his illness. And then all the other people there that didn't have any issues were just casualties.
Yep.
Because they just wanted to get them all in one place. So they all gave them specific medicine to treat their ailment. And yeah.
I think they said they all got the vacations because they won something at their doctors or pharmacies.
Yeah.
Which, again, I was like, I don't know a single pharmacy that gives out free vacations.
That's very strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but then you see at the end of the movie, and the calcium deficiency. She had a calcium deficiency.
Oh, yeah, calcium deficiency.
So they gave her something for her, too.
We had one other one.
So practically all of the medicines failed except for the seizures. Because she never had a seizure until, like, 50 years later, technically.
In the movie.
Of her age or whatever.
And
then
she had
a seizure.
She had every single seizure. It was awful.
All at once, and then she died.
I think mid-sized sedan had something too.
The striptease
girl definitely had one. I think he had blood clots or headaches or something.
I think he had blood clots.
Yeah.
His nose kept bleeding throughout the whole
movie.
You see
how much we retained about these characters?
Not much.
Nothing.
And honestly, there's so many characters to keep track of. They really should have cut that down.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it was overwhelming.
Anyway. So it turns out that was their success. They were like, now we're going to do the next batch.
They made a drug to cure everything.
Yeah. So now they're like, we're going to do the next batch, and we're going to try to find what other things we can cure. And then, lo and behold, the daughter and the son come in. They were like, no, you won't. We survive.
Remember the cop from the beginning of the movie? They give him the journal, and apparently that proves
everything.
Something. Listen, I don't know. The cops show up. I've never seen a single cop just like look at one piece of evidence and be like, wow, this proves all of the crimes. Wow. Because I was like, I didn't even know. There's no hint of people going missing at this beach.
No, he just pretty much was like, they killed my parents. Or something. I don't even know they even said that.
I think it was like a bunch of missing persons.
They were like, look at this. And he was like, oh, all of their names and they're missing and all of this crazy stuff. But listen, like, I don't think that's enough.
None of it connected to the hotel either. Like, everything they read from the journal was like, whoa, this beach is really freaky, man.
Yeah.
So and then, magnets. Wow.
And the magnets. So they end up getting caught in the end, and then their plan is foiled. all because of these meddling kids.
And so no one's allowed to go to the beach, and it's closed forever.
Maybe.
I really thought at the end they get in a helicopter and they're going home, and I thought their helicopter would crash into the beach.
That would be so much better.
Be like, it doesn't end. I mean, it would have been an improvement. As a horror movie, it's awful because it just ends and you're not like, oh no, there's a beach out there somewhere that's gonna kill me. Well, it's not like Jaws, you know.
Yeah. And also, like I said, they shouldn't have lived, because they could have kept this going. You could have saw the next batch, and honestly, the next movie would have been better because we would have known what was going on.
Honestly, they made it more interesting at the end, because I remember you pointing this out. They're like there's literally an entire exposition dump at the end of the movie, including the director himself. So I was like, man, he knew people were going to be confused. He's even in on this.
Yeah.
Where they're talking about solving the world and viruses and everything. And then they talk about how they lost sight of the daughter and the son because they swam into the coral. And then someone says, oh man, I hope it's not like that incident with batch 14 or whatever. And Ashlyn just goes, are you kidding me? There's a more interesting story.
Yeah. I was like, I want to know what happened there.
Yeah.
I was like, we should have had batch 14 first and then this one, honestly.
Or whatever batch. These poor people.
It's like, I want to know what happened with them.
Right.
But anyway, so Old was very disappointing.
Yeah. In summary, I want to say it was overwhelming. Like, when I think about it, I get overwhelmed. Because I feel like they tried to accomplish so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I do this in my own writing, where I'm like, oh, look at all these cool plot things. And I know I read M. Night was trying to close some of the plot holes in the Sandcastle novel. But since they accomplished so much, the characters really suffered for it. They really didn't accomplish anything.
This is definitely, like Jana was saying, this is what happens when you try to do too much.
Yeah.
You gotta stay, there was too many characters, to the point to where, like, even trying to describe them, it's like, oh yeah, them. Like, there's too many to keep track of.
Right.
Too many things happening, like, too many people that were sick, too many people dying.
Stop being sick.
Random thing. Like, you brought in, like, all sorts of different political issues, which is great, but
but they don't follow through at all. Because, they said Black Lives Matter, but then they killed the one black guy. Well, no, he wasn't the one. I don't think he was. He was, yeah. They killed the one black guy on the island for being black, and it was terrible. Like, we literally looked at each other and were like, really? Like, really?
Yeah, it's almost like whenever some people try to be inclusive by throwing in, like, LGBTQ character or a black character, but they die.
And it's, you know, like, I don't think there was a single LGBTQ character in that movie.
If there was, I don't remember them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's one of those things where they want to be inclusive, but the thing about being inclusive is you have to give these characters a good base.
Yeah.
Why wasn't the main family black?
Yeah.
Why wasn't the doctor, why didn't he have a gay partner?
Yeah.
Why did it have to be a trophy wife?
Right.
It could have been a trophy husband. This is what I'm saying. They could have mixed it up. And
I know. They didn't. They were like, oh, we're sticking with what we know.
Exactly.
And then
throwing a random character.
Literally killing off all the diverse characters.
Yeah.
Virtually first. They weren't the first ones to go, but, I mean, Mid-South Sudan was. Yeah.
So that's what we're saying, too. It was just...
Do we have anything good? I have one good thing to say about the movie, surprisingly.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't have any good things.
I mean, I like the idea. I like the idea of the whole beach being old thing was very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
That's about it.
I second that, but I also really liked... Because I went into this expecting a horror movie. Later I learned it was more of a thriller. But there's this scene where the kids are kind of like the last one standing. The parents are being attacked by the doctor. And they run into this cave. And we've totally forgotten at this point that his wife is still alive with her calcium deficiency. They will show her at points... She's my favorite character in the movie because they would show her at different points. Just randomly. Like, just glances of her. And she's just getting more and more deformed because her bones aren't...
healing correctly.
Her bones are wiggly. And she's in the cave hiding because she doesn't want to look at herself. And her daughter is dead and her kind of grandchild is dead. But she sees the kids and has this complete freak out because she's, like, really old at this point. And you look at her and she's, like, super, you know, hunched and, like, you know, Deformed. And then she's like throwing boulders at them. And Ashlyn was watching for a lot of this because she's like, this is nasty.
Listen, it got creepy.
I know. That's why it's my favorite part. But she lifts up this big boulder and you just hear this crack. And like her bones just get, they just crack.
Because this is what would happen is that when she broke her bones, they healed super fast.
That's it. That's what
So it would instead of being like, because you know when you break your arm, you have to put it in a stent to make sure it heals the correct way. So if she broke her arm like in an L shape, it would heal.
It healed in the L shape. So ooh, she's like so chasing crazy. Them, and it was great. I liked that part.
Oh yeah, I would say that was true horror.
That was yeah.
Jana
that was body
watched
horror.
I begged her to tell me when it was over. I could not watch it. It was so gross.
The only other part that was gross was they removed the mom's tumor at one point.
I didn't watch that part either.
Well, there was nothing to. There was like a couple scenes of them cutting him with a scalpel, but the rest of it was they zoomed in on like Jerry's forehead.
They could have done so well, though, because here was the thing, is that they were healing so fast, because they were growing so fast, that whenever they cut it open, it was healing around their fingers, and they said that, but they didn't show
and
that.
And I was like, ugh, that's nasty. I wouldn't watch that, but they didn't show it. They showed Jerry's forehead for, like, 3 minutes.
And then, like, her dialogue, the dialogue is going to kill me. The dialogue after that was, like, they took the tumor out and everything, and then she looks at her husband, and, like, total monotone. It's like, I feel better. It's like,
no, duh.
Yeah, no, we know. Like,
I would feel better, too.
It's like, you just passed out. We took a tumor out. Yeah.
It was the size of, like, a small watermelon.
Again, the rule of showing, not telling. Right. Oh, it got me.
Man.
But, no, I don't really have... I guess the horror, that horror aspect, they did hit that on the head.
I mean, thriller, sure. But the execution was... It was not there.
Yeah, and it also wasn't very suspenseful.
I was thrilled because every moment got closer and closer to the ending, and I got to leave.
Oh, yeah. But other than that, I would say if I had to rate this, it would be a 2 out of 10. That's what I would do.
I would rate it 0 child pregnancies out of... I'm just kidding.
That's very true, though.
I would like to not see that again. Thank you.
No.
No, it was a bad movie.
It was bad.
I mean, it wasn't even, like, fun to make fun of. It's fun to roast right now, but would I watch it again?
No.
No. It had no rewatch value.
No, not at all. There, I have no kind of, like, I want to watch this with someone else. I want to get someone else's opinion. No, I don't. I'm good.
Like, I'm good. Yeah. I watched it. Now, no one else has to, because I can tell them all about it in, exactly. like, 2 sentences. It was bad.
It was terrible.
Now, do you think we could salvage this movie in the least edits possible, or do you think it would call for a complete rewrite?
I would say complete rewrite.
Yeah.
Mostly because of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I would make it aliens or fairies. I would not do the science thing.
Right. I would say, I think it could be salvaged if the characters were written better, mm-hmm. and they could probably rewrite the ending. So I'm a little bit on both, because I've definitely seen horror thriller movies that they've been great with less, but the characters definitely need some tweaking, and maybe the direction as well. Like, tell them, be emotional. Don't be scared to be emotional.
I wonder if they told those actors, like, to be as monotone as possible.
I mean, that is a trend in some of his movies.
Jesus.
Because, I mean, you haven't seen Avatar The Last Airbender.
No, I haven't. I want to, though, just so I can
but,
comment.
I mean, yeah, The Visit and, like, Sixth Sense. There are some monotone moments, but it didn't work for this movie at all.
No. I'm that kind of person where it's like, if you're going to act, and if you're going to do something, do it all the way. Don't do it halfway. Ugh,
right.
It kills me.
Right. Anyway, I say salvage. You say rewrite.
Rewrite. I'd rewrite the whole thing.
Yeah.
I would take the base idea, and I would just do my own thing.
Yeah. No, I think it could be tweaked. Would I want that? No, I would want to rewrite it. But I think they could have tweaked it and at least gotten something better out of it.
I mean, anything's better than the way it is now. So I guess I would agree with you in that. There is a way to salvage that. Anything's better.
There you have it. Anything's better than the way it is now.
Exactly.
Thank you for joining us on this commentary of old. I hope you learned something. If you didn't, thanks for listening this far anyway.
Yeah, and we'll be doing more movies, so definitely tune in later.
Yeah, this has been fun.
This will be great.
Okay, bye.